This afternoon, we turn our attention to the New Testament scriptures. I would like to read a couple of verses. First, in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I will begin actually with Romans 11:36. For of him, and through him and to him, he is the Alpha through the Omega, the source, the means, and the end. Of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And therefore, we have the next two verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, your logical service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3. We'll commence with verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This afternoon I want us to consider the subject metamorphosized believers, or changed into his image. When we think of metamorphosis, people think of metamorphic rocks, or people think of frogs or butterflies that are changed from tadpoles into frogs, or from larvae caterpillars into butterflies. And, of course, that is a kind of metamorphosis. But I suppose people in Paul's day knew about frogs and butterflies. I don't know if they termed the change metamorphosis. They probably associated metamorphosis, I'm told, with heathen mythological phenomena. Monstrous creations of the imagination. Much like our fictional monstrous creations like the fly and like Beauty and the Beast, all this fantasy fiction. But the Bible speaks about a person being changed from within, a transformation being made. Metamorphosis is a Greek term which speaks of a deep change from within. We don't exactly understand what it means that Jesus was metamorphosized, as recorded in Matthew and also in Luke, at the Mount of what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. The English is transfigured. It's the word metamorphosis, metamorphosized. The same word is translated transformed that I read to you in Romans 12. We're not to be conformed, to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. Notice the play on words. Not to be conformed, but to be transformed. A deep change from within. The same word is found for the fourth time in the third English translation of it, the third English word, synonym, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, where it says we're changed into His image. The same word. We could say we're transfigured into His image. We are transformed into His image. We are metamorphosized into His image. Now, that's the word metamorphosis, as you can see, is morphosis with meta on the front. It's a more intensive word. The word morphos or morph, we know that from a form, is also found. We're conformed to the image of His Son. So those are referring to deep changes, real changes from inside to outside. There's another word, for instance, conformed, and the devil transforms, though that really shouldn't have been the translation, because transform sounds like metamorphosis. It sounds as if the devil can actually change from a demon into an angel. Change from being a sinner to an innocent person. But that's not so. The word that's used about the devil is an external change. Where we get scheme from it, schema. And the Bible says we're not to be conformed to this world, that is, to the fashion of this world. We are to be transformed from within by the renewing of our mind. In other words, what would describe a transformation, a metamorphosis, is a sinner into a saint. Not a sinner into a better sinner. Not a sinner into a churchgoer. That would be conformed to the church. Not a churchgoer who lives like the rest of the world through the week. That would be conformed to this world. There's a difference between true form and fashion. There's a difference between a surface change, a mask, that which is external and that which is truly internal. Regeneration is a deep change from within when a sinner becomes a saint. And may I say sanctification, which is described in these verses in Romans. I don't think Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 3 are describing someone being saved for the first time. They're describing sanctification. So if regeneration is a deep change from within when a sinner becomes a saint, so what is sanctification? It's a deep change where a saint becomes more saintly, where a Christian becomes more like Christ. And that still takes an inward change, a work wrought by God. You know, one of the saddest things to behold was when Moses was so affected by the presence of God that it caused his face to shine. That's an amazing thing. His whole external appearance changed from such inward fellowship with God. But one of the saddest things that we read of, he had to put a mask on his face. He had to put a veil on his face. As if he was saying to the people, I haven't met with God. One of the saddest things. You'd have thought that he should come and show what change is wrought by fellowship with God. Not that he would make a demonstration. It's just sad that they were so shocked and scared and unused to this and unprepared for this that he had to put a veil over his face. As if he was saying, I guess that I never had fellowship with God at all. And one of the saddest things to behold is a man or woman of God who's prepared his heart, who's come to the worship service prepared, and he's called a hypocrite or whatever description is called, where people feel uncomfortable because a person has come having prepared his heart and having met with God. He's almost made to feel guilty and hypocritical for having prepared himself. We shouldn't have to put a veil over our face. So often we often put a mask on our face as if we have spent time with God, and we haven't. We should spend time with God, and all of us should affect one another as iron sharpens iron. I want us to think about transformation into Christ's image today by the Spirit, and to challenge us that we need to be metamorphosized more and more into Christ's image, and less seek to conform to that which is passing away. So often we find ourselves conforming to the things of this world rather than being conformed and transformed into the image of Christ. And so why don't we ponder that today, metamorphosized believers. First of all, you can't be metamorphosized into the image of Christ until you've first been changed from being a sinner into a saint. The apostle comments on that later in this book, where he says in chapter 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be or become in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I'm a creationist. I not only believe that God made the heavens and the earth an original man, I believe that salvation, in order to believe in salvation, you have to be a creationist. God creates a new nature. I believe in God's creation. I believe in His new creation. The first Sabbath that was, remember, the seventh day of the week, remember the old creation. The first day of the week is the new Sabbath for the Christian that remembers the new creation, when Christ rose from the dead so that we would also have the hope of eternal life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A sinner needs to be changed into a saint. Being born again, as Peter says, by grace you must be saved. Obviously, it's not technically transformation of the inner man because the old nature is taken away. It's not a transformation of the old nature. It's a transplant. It's not a transformation. It's not the old nature that has been remanufactured. It's a new nature implanted or transplanted, and the old nature is removed. A new heart, not a remanufactured old nature. We're not reincarnated, we're regenerated. So first of all, we need to become a saint. And then we can more and more be transformed into the image of Christ. I want us to ponder, secondly, believers can conform to this world, but they can't transform to this world. Ever thought of that? And the apostle mentions it. Romans 12. Read it with me again. He talks to brethren. He's not talking to false brethren. He's not talking about people that aren't saved. He says, "Brethren, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, that is, into the image of Christ, by the renewing of your mind." So it is possible for believers to be conformed to this world. But may I say, it's impossible for believers to be transformed to this world. You can try to become a sinner again. That is, you can try to be lost again. It can't happen. I mean, Peter did his best to blend in, but they found him out. "Your speech betrayeth thee." Even Lot, in the end, was found out. "You just came in to be a sojourner." You know, after all those years of his backsliding and his trying to blend in Sodom, you notice that they notice at the end, you know, "You're still just a sojourner." All these, he's dwelt in Sodom. He's sitting at the gate of Sodom. What do they say to him? "You're a sojourner. We'll deal with you worse than we'll deal with these other visitors that have come." Even after all those years, the people of the world sensed that Lot wasn't the same. And it was so sad that Lot was trying to conform to the world. And he was successful. but he was never transformed. He was still righteous Lot all those days. He was still justified. Peter could deny the Lord three times, and yet he never lost his salvation. He could disguise himself at the fire and blend in and curse and swear, whether that means he just put himself under an oath, did he actually use vulgarity? There's a matter of conjecture. But he did all he could do is blend in, and he was blending in, but they still discovered him. Peter, you're not like us. And it's sad that Paul had to speak to the people in Rome, and of course in Corinth, don't be conformed to this world. Why would you want to? Why would you want to be like the world when the world is passing away and all of its lust? The worldling looks at people with lust and is crude and rude and proud and arrogant, self-centered, always talking about self. God's people should not be conformed to this world. The word is fashion. We shouldn't fashion ourselves after this world. Why should we fashion ourselves after the dress of this world? I know what the dress of this world is. I drive to four high schools every day. Four. And I can tell you what the fashion of this world is. It's tight clothes and no clothes. And just drawing attention to self. I can tell you firsthand without, and I have to resist it every day. I'm glad I have three handicapped students, and I drop them off and I'm gone. But even that little bit, I can tell every single day what the fashion of this world is. The actions, the body language, the arrogance, the see me, look what I look like. Look at me. The form and everything is all that which they want people to be drawn to. And the music. Why would we want to fashion ourselves not only after dress but music? Why would we want to listen to vulgarity? The Lord's name being taken in vain in rap music or the loud beat that drowns out the message. And why would you want to listen to something like hell being used in a derogatory way? Why? Why? Why would you want to listen to songs that build up self and encourage rebellion against authority? Why? Why? Why is that enjoyable? Let me ask you, if you're a believer, you know that's wrong and you're conforming to it. If you're not a believer, you love it, you enjoy it, there's no conviction, that's you. You're not conforming to the world, you're transforming to the world because you're a worldling. The love of the Father's not in you if the love of the world's in you. And the world is passing away in the lust thereof. Let me ask you, do you listen to rock music? And I know I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid. I know what rock music is. It exalts self, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. They talk about girls on beaches and girls that are not dressed well and boys being dominators. And they talk about rebellion against authority and parents don't know best. And they just talk about the things of the world, all temporal things. And it's the kind of music you'll find in dance halls and ballrooms. Does that not tell you that it's not of God? And soft rock isn't any better. And country music, you want to listen to country music and swapping wives and all kinds of dating relationships and touching me and touching you. Is that what you want to listen to? The Bible says, you need to get involved in things that are edifying to your soul. Can you listen to country music and soft rock and rap music and then go to your prayer closet and commune with God? Can you commune with God while you listen to this music? Is the Holy Spirit encouraging you to do that? Lifestyles, they're temporal. You know what they build up this kind of music and this kind of in the fashions? Men's brains, men's brawn, and men's bucks. Intelligence, strength, and riches. Think about an Old Testament passage. In Jeremiah chapter 9, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. There's intelligence. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. There's the body, the brawn. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. And that's what you find that's promoted in music and in Hollywood and in the world. Who's the most intelligent? Who's the most, who's got the best bodies? Who's got the most money wins? Like Alistair Begg said this week, you know, have you ever seen a bodybuilder in a casket? What good did it do him? Seen rich people lying in their caskets and seen very intelligent, wise people dwelling in their lying in their caskets. They're going to die one day. Did all that get them to Christ? The Bible speaks of the world being pleasure-oriented. The form is all important to the world. What you see, what you touch, it's all external. The Lord wants us to go to the heart of a meek and quiet spirit, which is of great value in the sight of God. Holiness, righteousness, and truthfulness. And Paul is saying, don't live a lie, believer. If you're a believer, don't conform to this world. The world is passing away. You're wasting your life. You're bringing people down with you. Your siblings, your friends. What do you want them to see? You want them to see Christ in you, or you want them to see the world in you? You want them to see you. Believers can conform to this world, but they can't transform. But unfortunately, there are believers that have tried to conform to this world, and they were a success up to a point. For a long time, they wasted their life. I can't help but think of poor Lot. He wasted his life. Was Demas saved? And toward the end, he loved this world. Remember Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Was it just a disguise? Or had Demas ever been saved? Thank God that Peter was rescued. Even Moses in Egypt, I wonder when he got saved and how long it was before it finally came into his heart to visit his brethren. Moses could have easily conformed to this world. He had everything at his fingertips, but he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Don't conform to this world. What kind of films are you watching? I don't care what they are. I'm not just saying X-rated. You know, there are R-rated and PG that have immorality, immodesty, vulgarity, taking the Lord's name in vain and just mocking human beings, violence, vulgarity, viciousness. You wonder why people get angry. They watch violence all the time. They watch people punching each other and shooting each other and hating each other. And you wonder why there's violence. You wonder why there's anger in the home. You wonder why you have to have Bible studies on the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, of not fighting with your siblings. You see, what you pump in is what you bring out. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Believer, you can conform to this world, but you can't transform. But you can spend a lot of time trying to conform. And I hope one day you wake up sooner than later. Don't wake up like Lot and you've lost most of your family. Wake up now. Thirdly, the worldling can conform to the church, but he can't transform. a lot of people that are conforming to the church that are worldlings. Judas conformed quite a long time, well, at least 3 years, until finally John would write after the fact and none of them could detect it. That's how the tare can grow with the wheat. It was afterwards when John said Judas had the bag. Judas had been pilfering. They didn't know this. And John would comment, that's why he said she should have sold this to feed the poor rather than to spend it on the Lord. You know, in many ways you can tell a worldling in the church when they just can't stand holy people. They can't stand people that just give everything to Christ. Like that woman just spent everything on Christ. She just broke that flask. She didn't just pour a little bit out of it. She broke it. It couldn't be used for anything else because it was all used on the Lord. And you know, the world says, you're wasting. You've given your life. You've broken your life. Look what you could have had. You could have had a better house. You could have had more money. You could have had a better job. You could have influence. You could just be living the life, you know. What a waste. You've wasted your voice on preaching. You've wasted your time in prayer meetings. You've spent all your time reading a Bible when you could be really intelligent, you know. You're in church twice on Sundays. Yeah. I think two services on Sunday frame the whole day. On sermon audio, they just had a huge article on the Sunday night services are just going off to the wayside in churches these days. And they vouch that back, it was not just 100 years ago that two services, it's been way back into the days of the Reformation. And it's now a thing where churches are getting rid of Sunday nights and then Wednesday nights and prayer meetings are going. And one of the reasons why they had two services, not necessarily morning and evening, because in the days of horses and darkness, and they used to stay for dinners like we did today. The point was to show that the whole day was the Lord. They framed it from beginning to end. And anymore, when the church begins to believe the world that it's just a Sabbath hour, we jettison the evening services, and then the prayer meeting is the last to go. And of course, the prayer meeting is the least frequented service. God's people don't believe in prayer anymore. They don't believe in a prayer answering God. It's unbelief. It's worldliness. It's conforming to this world. But the world can conform to the church, but can't transform. You can blend in for a while, but the day's coming when the angels are going to separate the tares from the wheat. Balaam had some great prophecies. I don't think there was a person in Israel at first would have said Balaam's an apostate. But Jude tells us Balaam was an apostate. The Israelites learned it because he couldn't teach them, he couldn't teach God, he couldn't get God to curse Israel, but he got Israel to curse God with their sin. He got Israel to commit fornication with the Gentiles. And the worldling in the church, if he can't get, as it were, God to conform and to make the church worldly, he'll try to get the church to be ungodly. They drag down the people in the church. And that's why we have to beware and pray that God will stem the tide of a worldling that's conforming to the church, but not transforming. Simon Magnus said, "Sell me this power." They start to be shown by mercenary spirit, by an overemphasis on externals. Diotrephes, who love to have the preeminence, they want to have the preeminence. They're not interested in everybody else's life. They're interested in their own life. They're never asking about you. They want you to ask about them. And that's a sign of the worldling in the church. The Bible tells us Satan tries to transform as an angel of light. It's not the word metamorphosis. It's an external change. He's got clergy in the pulpits too. The Bible says that there are ministers of righteousness, ministers of light that have got, they're really the devil's clergy, but they got the mask of the Lord's clergy. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:5, there are people who have a form of godliness, but it's not metamorphosis. It's a mask. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. The believer is different. What is the believer? The believer has a form, a transformation into godliness, and he confesses its power. There is power in the blood. There is power in a holy life. God is with people who live for Him. God blesses people who hate sin. I want a form of godliness, but I want it from deep. I want it from inside out. But I do want it on the outside. I want to smile, rejoice with people who rejoice. I want to really weep with people who weep. But I confess, I want to confess its power. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. In other words, they've never known its power. They put a mask on for an hour. And you see what they're like the rest of the week. They can cheat, they can steal, they can lust, they can vaunt themselves, they step over everybody else, they don't care about anybody but themselves. And so when we say to the believer, don't live a lie by conforming to the world, we tell the unbeliever, don't live a lie and conform to a churchgoer. Show your true self. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. I'm not saying to the world, they don't come to church. But if you're coming to church, seek to be changed. Seek to be saved and really changed to be like Christ. And as I was saying earlier, you're going to listen to rock music. Are you a worldling? Then listen to rock music. But don't say you're a Christian and listen to this kind of music and say you're a Christian. Say you're a worldling. In other words, the Lord's saying in Revelation, show your unbelief. Don't mask it. Become a believer or show your unbelief. Don't be shocked one day when the tares is separated from the wheat. And there will be a terrible tear. Worldling can conform to the church, but he can't transform. And may I say this, that in due time, in many cases, the worldling will transform to this world. Sooner or later, he will leave the church. And that's a scare to any Christian parent. You know, you ask young people, why are you in church? And many of them will say, Dad and Mom require it. And it's right for us. It's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's proper for a parent to say, look, the rule of the house is that you're in the services. You should be in the services on the Sabbath day in the prayer meetings. You should. You're going to be at in our devotional time. Unless you can't for some reason. That is, those are given things. But the day comes when the worldling will transform this world. You wonder why John said they went out from us. For a while they'd been among them, but they went out because they were not of us. If they were of us, they would not have left us. And the day comes when the lost soul that was raised in a Christian family leaves. And you want them to feel the pressure so that what emerges is the reality that they don't blend in all their life and end up dying without Christ and never came to terms with who they really were. I'd rather someone left and came to terms with where they were than to stay hidden and perish. Better stay and be converted, be transformed. But better come to terms with what we really are. The Lord talks about people waxing worse and worse. And again, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. If what you love is Hollywood and Broadway and happy hour and beaches and bars and godless universities and public schools and balls and proms and lust of the flesh on the internet and films that depict people in immodest clothing and with vulgar mouths and with suggestiveness in their behavior and body language, if that's your love, the love of the Father is not in you. One day the Lord says that there will be those on His left hand. He says the whole world lieth in wickedness. He will judge the world in righteousness. Nobody's going to be judged as a worldling who isn't a worldling. The Lord will make sure everybody's on the right side. One side or the other. Better to know now. Because the Bible tells me there are some people that are going to cry out, Lord, Lord, we thought we were believers. And I don't think the Lord is saying that good churches are going to have a lot of people that thought they were saved. I don't think He's telling us that. I think there are churches, I believe with all my heart from the Scripture, that if they plead with God and pray and fast, that the Lord will bring people to terms with who they are. Either they're in Christ or out of Christ. If the pulpit is strong and faithful, then I believe that God will show people whether they're saved or not. We can't compromise doctrine or application of it. We can't be respecters of persons. We've got to go on and serve God. I've got to tell the truth and say, do what's right. Be faithful to Christ. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Read the Scriptures. Come to terms with where you are, with Christ or not. Last, I trust that this is the most precious, that the believer should become more and more transformed into the image of Christ. You know, this is Paul's yearning. And may I say, if there's ever a verse for elders in a church, here it is. Galatians 4:19. If there's ever a verse for fathers, for their husbands and fathers for their wives and children. It's Galatians 4:13. Galatians 4:19, sorry. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I can't rest until I know that Christ is in you. That Christ is formed in you. And this is the same root as metamorphosis, but it's morphosis. The same point until Christ is really formed into you. You're born again and you're going on with God. Every believer can't have peace unless they know that the next believer, every believer is troubled by any professing believer that's not going on with God. If that isn't so with any of us, our hearts are cold. Every one of us in this room should be concerned with every other person that we're going on with God. If we're not, it troubles us. If we're not, I weep for you in the prayer closet. And there are people in this church I weep over. The Lord says to grow in grace. In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't want to see you at the left hand. I don't want to see you like Lot in your end days, your children in the world, you're divorced, or they're illegitimate children, or you're weeping over your life that's been wrecked.
want to see you go on with God. I want to see that you're a member of the church with your wife, with your husband, with your children, that you're going to the Sabbath evening services. You're going to the prayer meetings, not because of mechanical habit, because you love the Lord and you love His people and you want to be mutually in love with His people and reciprocal in your relationship. That you have a life that's necessarily tied to the lives of others because you know you're a body and not just an arm or a finger or a toe. And there are Christians out there that are toes that are out on their own. They wandered from the body. And they wonder why they're cold and ineffectual. And there are body parts that are injured that need to be addressed. The Bible says every one of us should be changed. Notice He says, but we all, not some of us, not most of us, but we all. In other words, I think Paul is saying not just Moses. How many people said, you know, Moses, you know, he's way ahead of us. Yeah, Moses, we can understand he's being close to God. There's not a person any closer to God than Moses. And you and I know if Moses stood here and if we were with him in that day, what was Moses' heart? Would to God that every person was as close to God as I. Would to God that I was closer to God. There wasn't a meeker man than Moses, the Bible says. And you remember how jealous he didn't try to protect himself. When those men were prophesying, he said, oh, that all of God's people were prophets. When God said, let me destroy the nation, and I'll make of you a nation, a new nation. How many people would have said, let it happen, Lord. Fell on his face. We all, how does it happen? With open face, we take the veil off when we go into God's presence. In other words, it's saying we humble ourselves before God, beholding as in a glass. It is by looking into the Scripture with humble and repentant hearts. That's the demeanor of the Christian who's going to be transformed into the image of Christ. Having been unveiled with open face, literally. He looks into the Scripture and looks for Christ. Beholding is the word to contemplate, free from interruption. He's taking time to be holy. He's not reading the Scriptures cursively, with brevity, not cursory reading. Oh, he may only read a little bit at a time, but he's contemplating what he reads. He wants to see Christ and look until he sees Christ in the mirror, until he sees that he's being conformed, transformed into the image of Christ. What's the key? He's looking for Christ. He's seeing the glory of the Lord. Oh, we see a lot of things in here. We see a lot about ourselves, but what are we looking for in particular? I want to see the glory of the Lord. I want to see the Lord's glory. I want to see the array of His attributes, the array of His works, His words, His miracles. In other words, I'm looking for Christ. I'm looking for God in the Scriptures. Not just for answers. I'm looking for God when I read the Bible. Let me ask you, what do you look for when you read the Bible? Answers so that we're clever? Or are we looking for the glory of the Lord? Doctrine that reveals the Lord. The Lord's ways, the Lord's judgments, the Lord's miracles, the Lord's providence. That's our focus. And what will be the effect? The effect is Christ, is seeing Christ, the glory of the Lord. What's the effect? The result will be changed, metamorphosized from glory to glory. It seems like a strange statement, but I think it simply means from one stage of glory to another. In other words, from one stage of growth to another. We are changed. We are transformed, metamorphosized into the same image, to be like Christ, from glory to glory. Could it say from this life to the next? Or is it saying from one stage of Christ's likeness to the next? Yes, until we see Jesus, we want to be growing and going on with God. a character that's continually being formed to be like Christ's. Oh, that every part of our character would be like Christ, that we'll be patient and long-suffering and loving and humble and unselfish, good and kind, meek, in every way like our Savior. We know that we can't accomplish it ourselves. Who is the agent? Who's the source? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord, or from the Lord of the Spirit. I think it's saying from the Lord of the Spirit, from Jehovah who is the Spirit. This is a passage that calls the Holy Spirit God. It's not just saying the Lord's Spirit changes us, but the Spirit who is the Lord, or the Jehovah who is Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who has taken the responsibility to conform us, to transform us, to metamorphosize us into the image of Christ. And that should be a constant prayer of ours. O Spirit of the living God, make me like Christ. Break me of all those things that are worldly and unproductive. Lord, break me of all my sinful habits. Replace them with godly habits. Metamorphosize believers. Believer, that should be your burden. Let this be a life verse for you and me. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, or the Spirit who is the Lord. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Worldling, don't be conformed to the church. Be saved. Be saved before it's too late. May the Lord bless His Word.